All right, this is it. This is the last week. This is the last week of our dating series, you guys. For those of you sixth graders, you survived. You made it. Everybody, sixth graders, give yourself a hand. You did it. Well done. That's true. If you don't make it out of here today, tell your parents I'm sorry. Have your friends tell your parents that I'm sorry, because you won't be there. So hey, I would love for us, before we even get started, to read God's word together. Let's see here. Nope, it's not gonna be me, is it? Maybe, I don't know. So we're gonna read God's word together. So you guys can stay seated for this. This is all good. This is Proverbs 4, 23 through 27. I would love for us to read this together today. So again, this is out of the Message. This is where we're gonna be landing. But I would love for us just to read this even before you get there in your own Bibles this morning. Let's read this together. Ready? Okay. Nobody was like, yes. So I didn't know. All right, here we go. Ready? Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust. Boom. All right, so that's Proverbs 4, 23 through 27. So if you guys have your Bibles, you can go ahead and go there now. Proverbs is like right in the middle of your Bible. Really, if you open it up, Psalms, Proverbs are like two of the bigger books, right like smack in the center of God's word. And so if you guys have that, I want to encourage you to go there now, open up there. And so, Proverbs 4. If you have an ESV Bible, it is where we're at today is actually on page 530. So you can even give specific page numbers. And it's going to be good. So anyways, for the last couple weeks, you guys, you have put up with me and lovingly listened and taken notes. And I'm excited that you guys have been here for this because I think this is important. I think God's word speaks a lot to relationships, friendships, the way that he created us to be, not alone, but in community with one another. I'm really passionate about that. I don't know where I would be without my friends. I would probably be in a not so good place. And I think that a lot of you would say the exact same thing, where if you have a solid group of friends that you feel like they have your back, you can count on them, you can rely on them, like, that it changes a lot of things. It changes the way that you experience tough times or good times because you have somebody to either cry with or celebrate with or laugh with. There's all these things that God has made us to do with one another. And so that's kind of just one way that I know that God has made us to be. And I love getting to do life, not just with my friends, but also with you. And I know that I've said that a couple times, but I love getting to hang out with y'all. So week one, again, we talked about relationships. And just the way that God has made us to be together. And we walked through Colossians 3, 12 and 13 in the way that we have been called to be kind and show compassion to one another, be patient with one another, love one another. Like that's kind of the root and the core of all foundational relationships, whether it's friendships, dating, marriage, whatever. Like that should be at the core of our relationships as followers of Jesus. And then week two, which was last week, we looked at the goal of dating ultimately is marriage. Like, and the Bible doesn't really say a whole lot concerning like the actual process of dating. Like it doesn't give you like, here's five quick ways to date people, like, or here's what not to say on a first date, like, or this is how you ask someone out. Like that's not in there. Really the only type of relationship as far as man and woman that the Bible talks about is marriage, because that's kind of like the ultimate goal, and our culture uses dating as kind of a vehicle for us to get there. And a lot of the times we get that confused and we think that dating like is the end goal, when really that's just something that's supposed to hopefully get us to marriage. And so that's what we looked at last week. And the other important thing too that we looked at was that marriage and that type of relationship ultimately is out of mutual obligation. It's a really big word. Everybody say that. Mutual obligation. Ready to go. Mutual obligation. That's a mouthful. And what that means is that I am looking to serve my wife and her highest good for her good so that she will know Jesus and be loved and cared for. And that I'm entering into that relationship trusting my wife that she will be doing the same for me, where she is hoping for my highest good, that I would know Jesus more, that she would care for me and love me as well. And it's like when we do that, when we both are seeking the other's highest good and other's interests, we kind of, this mutual thing where we are caring for one another and then everyone's needs are essentially met. Does that make sense? Like if I'm looking out for you and you're looking out for me, that's way better than if we're both looking out for each other. It's different. It's this difference. I've talked about it before in here. I don't know how long ago this was, but we talked about the difference between a contract and a covenant. And a covenant is something that God has with his people where it is not based on merit or works, but it is, I will remain faithful to you to the promises that I have made, and you are to remain faithful to the promises that you made to me. But if one of those sides breaks, and the only one that's breaking is ours, and between us and God, he never breaks his promises to us, that he still continues to remain faithful. And so even in marriage, it works that way, where if one of us fails and stumbles, and we will because we're all human, we continue to remain faithful and love one another and care for each other. Like that's the ultimate goal. A contract is like, I just signed up for like another year of phone service through AT&T. And so you have to like sign a contract where you say, I will pay this much so that you give me this thing. Like that's not the way that marriage works. I'm not, hey, I will give you this ring as long as you like do this, 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 and this for me. Otherwise we're done and it's over. Like that's not the way that marriage works. That's the difference between a covenant and a contract. A contract expects things to be done, and if those terms aren't met, then it's like, hey, the deal's off and we're done, this is over. That's the way that a contract works. And if God did that for us, man, I would probably not be in a very good place right now. And so he continues to be patient and loving and merciful to not only me, but to all of us. So that's what we looked at last week. This week, I want to talk about, so kind of, we looked at relationships as the foundation, and then we looked at marriage as kind of like the highest goal, but really the like, okay, well, how do we get there, Adam? Like, right, where I'm in middle school, I'm a seventh grader, I'm an eighth grader, like, what do you mean we're talking about marriage? That's forever away. I need to tell you this funny story really fast. Whenever I first started here, it was mistaken that I was a high schooler, which is like super common, I guess, for me, for some reason. I don't know if it's because I'm short or whatever. But this was literally almost 5 years ago. On April 7th, next week, it'll be my five-year anniversary here at the chapel, which is really awesome. And so I'm excited about that. You can clap. That's fun. So, because I love being here. Like I said, I love hanging out with you guys. Thank you. So, yes. So anyways, whenever we first started, when I first started, and Brittany came with me, we ran into this middle school boy who was terrified because he thought that we were high schoolers and that we were married, like we were married high schoolers, like that we were 16 and 17 years old and that we were married. And then he thought that, like, you know how I just talked about, like, hey, you eighth graders, you're going to go to high school. And, like, once you made that transition, that, like, you're on a countdown clock. You had, like, a year to find somebody, and then you had to get married. And so he was freaking out, panicking, like, I can't go to high school. And we're like, why? He's like, I can't get married. Like, I don't even like girls yet. Like, I don't know what to do. I can't get married. I don't have a job. I don't know. What? Like, he was in just full-blown panic mode where he had no clue. Not a clue. And I'm like, yo, chill, dude. I'm 23. It's fine. When I started, I was 23. You have some time to think about this. And not everybody has to get married at 23. You could be 40 for all I care. Like, as long as you're doing it the right way, it's whatever. All right? There's no age. There is like an age limit. Like, you have, legally, you can't just go get married right now. I highly do not recommend that. Highly against that. So, Do not do that. What'd you guys learn in middle school today? Adam said I should get married to my boyfriend. It's crazy. No. Okay. So we're talking about kind of what are the ways that we get there? What are the ways that as a middle schooler and then even beyond into high school and into college, like as I grow and I'm around my friends, right? Because you guys all have friend groups, and then there are those moments that things start to get a little weird when you realize that, like, you're not just like a friend group. Now there's like my best friend likes her, and now this group is weird. Like, because now none of us, like, know how to interact. Or you have, like, me and my buddy, we've been friends for forever, and it's, like, been us two and this other girl, and, like, and the three of us, we've hung out, we live next door to each other, like, we're all close, and then all of a sudden, like, you both like her, and she's freaking out, and then you and your friend are like this, and you're like, what do we do? And things get awkward and strange, and you have to navigate that. And so I want to give us, I actually want to give us some guardrails this morning for how we kind of navigate. If you don't know what guardrails are, they're like the big metal things on the side of the highways and the roads to keep people from like careening off into a ditch at high speeds. Like there was actually a guy this week earlier that crossed the median on the highway and it was terrifying, and he like ran through the middle of the road. Like those things are supposed to stop you. Luckily it slowed him down so that he didn't like fly into oncoming traffic, and it wasn't a horrible thing, but it still probably was terrifying. But it's like in life, you're going to be moving and you're kind of going, and hopefully these are some things, these are five things that can help you kind of navigate and figure. It's like bumpers for bowling, right? Like where you just throw it down there and like if you have the bumpers up, like it's going to make it. It may not be a strike, but like it'll get there, right? And so this is for you to survive middle school and high school, that like you may not have like gotten a strike by the time you get to college, but like you're going to make it, all right? You're going to get there. We're going to get you down the lane, even if it's really slow. It's going to happen, all right? It's going to get there. It's like when your five-year-old brother bowls, and they push it down a little ramp, and it goes like this. You're waiting. And like 3 minutes later, you're like, is it my turn yet? So anyways, not that I have bad memories of that or anything. So here we go. So Proverbs 4, we looked at it in the message, and I'm gonna read it out of the ESV here. So this is different than what's on the screen, but that's okay. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So there's this, these kind of couple of passages here. The cool thing about Proverbs is that there's all these little nuggets of wisdom. And wisdom is actually one of the themes of this book, where it's like, hey, listen to me. Even before in verse 20, he says, the guy who's writing this to his son, he's, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, let them not escape from your sight, keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. So it's like, hey, if you read this, this is literally life to you. Like if you pay attention to what I'm saying, if you understand, if you heed my words, if you listen to my teaching, this wisdom is going to be beneficial for you. And the first part here is keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. That is saying, like, be actively aware and careful of where your heart is. Protect it. Your heart is important, for from it flows the springs of life. That, like, out of your heart, your life flows. Literally, like, your heart pumps blood, so, like, don't let anything happen to that. But also in a sense of like your heart or your person, your soul, protect that. Be wary of who you give that away to, of who is taking some of it from you, and make sure that you're careful. So the first one the first guardrail that I have for us is this. Dating is not inherently bad. Let me say that again. Dating is not inherently bad. Just because the word dating doesn't appear in Scripture does not equal like evil or bad, right? Like the word Instagram is not in the Bible. It doesn't mean that Instagram is inherently like an evil thing, right? If it was, we'd all be in trouble because pretty much most of us have it, all right? It would be a problem. It is not inherently bad. However, based off of this passage, even here in Proverbs, it is something that needs to be treated with caution. It needs to be treated with caution. Like, be careful with where you're giving your heart away, with who you're giving it to. Guard your heart. All right? That's number one. Second one. Being in a relationship will not complete you. Let me say this again. Being in a relationship will not complete you. That is not the way that it works. All right? Here's something that I always point people back to. I point people back to this fact. We talked about it even. It was one of the questions for small group last week, if you guys got to it. What is the fact that Jesus was single his whole life say about the value of relationships in marriage? Think about that for just a second. I think so many of us fall into this trap where, like, we feel like, and it will happen. You will feel this pull, this temptation that, like, if I'm not in a relationship, if I'm not with someone, then, like, I am not a whole person. Like, that you need that to be a completed, a full, a whole person. Like, that you have to be dating somebody. You need that, like, you need to check that box off. That's not true. It's not true at all. Jesus lived a full life, a perfect life, and was never married. That may even speak more to marriage than some of the other places in Scripture, the fact that he was never even married. Like, that was not something on his to-do list, his priority. Like, that was just, it just never happened. Like, that wasn't what he was here for. It's not something that is necessary to complete you. I think sometimes we treat dating and relationships like this. It's almost like an accessory to us. Like, it's something that it's bio filler. Like, you can write it in your bio. You can write it everywhere. You can, I'm taken, or I'm saying, like, and so even in the same way, hear me on this too. In the same way that taken, like, or being in a relationship can become something that defines you, and don't let it, but be careful of that, right? Sometimes being single can also be the same. Like, if you see your friends in relationships and you are so frustrated, like, because you want to be in a relationship, or like, you're like, man, I wish that I had that. It's easy to become bitter or angry, or like, man, God, why don't you have somebody for me? What's going on here? And like, and you being single even then becomes like your identity. Like, I'm a single person, and that's the way that it is, and I like it, and I don't want to date. And like, you shame anybody who celebrates Valentine's Day, or you shame people who are in love, or who are together, because you're just like, well, that's stupid, and blah 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 blah. And like, and you become angry about not being that way, and so then you just like, you're like, I'm all in on being single, all right. So, but then what happens when you meet someone? Like, you've just been so anti relationships and blah blah, but now. Like, now you meet someone that's like, oh, maybe this could be it. Like, are you just totally now, like, you're all in on this side, and now you're like, ew, single people, gross. Like, that's not the way that it works. And I'm going to tell you guys this, that pressure becomes so much more difficult as you even get older, right? Because there is this pressure that, like, by the time that college is over, like, you have to be married. And that's so not true at all. Not at all. Like, because people think that once they leave college, they're like, where am I going to find anyone else? There's going to be no one. I'm going to be alone in my house forever. That's not true. Like, that's not the way that it works, right? So don't let those things become your identity. Jesus is your identity. Your identity is as a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God. That is who you are. And you just need to realize that whatever season you're in, whether you're in a relationship or you are not, you're single, like, that's okay, all right? Don't let either of those things become something that defines you or feels like it completes you, like, that's who I am, all right? I think that Jesus speaks against that. Third thing, cute should not be your only criteria for a relationship, all right? Let me tell you, if that was the only criteria for a relationship, I don't know how my wife ever would have decided to marry me, because I don't have a lot of that going on, all right? Like, if that was her only criteria, I would be in trouble, because this is not happening, all right? So that's not what's going on here, all right? I have to, like, use humor. That was the only way that I could, like, work my way in there, all right? I couldn't just be cute. That wasn't happening. If cute is your only criteria, watch out, all right? Boys and girls, both of you. If the only thing that you're looking at is looks, watch out, all right? Crazy people come in cute packages, okay? I'm serious. It's terrifying. All right? And some of that is, some of those people are you. All right? Just know that. All right? If cute is the only thing that you're looking at, you need to check where your heart's at. You need to be careful of that. All right? Scripture says, there's a story from the Old Testament. It's in 1 Samuel. Most of you guys have heard it. It's about David and Goliath. And David shows up, right? Goliath is this big giant dude who's challenging Israel, and David shows up. He's this little pipsqueak of a guy, and he's there, and nothing compared to Goliath. And he's like, "I'll fight him." And everybody looks at David, and they're like, "What? No, you're tiny." And there's this amazing line in 1 Samuel 16 where David says, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And that's more than just for fighting battles, all right? Like, who people are is more than just the way that they look. Please know that. And know that for yourself as well. How people try to define you by the way that you look, or how even you think that you look, like your looks, your outward appearance is not all that there is at all, right? There are beautiful people who have beautiful hearts, and it is because of what God has done in them. Like, here's the thing. I know that as I, like, continue to walk further and further into marriage with my wife, like, so we'll be married for 6 years this summer, which is exciting. And I know that, like, something that we say sometimes, and I can't believe is true, is, like, I find my wife, like, more attractive to me, like, every day, just because I know her more. It has nothing to do with outward appearance, but, like, I see her heart and the way that she loves people, and I'm so attracted to that. Like, I think that is one of the best things about her. And, like, and the more and more that I get to spend time with her and be around her, like, I love her more. And it's because of that. It has nothing to do, because here's the deal. Like, in 20, 30 years, like, I'm going to be a saggy mess, all right? Like, my face, I'm going to have wrinkles everywhere. Like, it's not going to be pretty, all right? I'm probably going to be hunched over if I keep having these back problems. Like, I'm not, all right? And so, again, the hope is that, man, I hope that my heart's good still then, all right? I hope that I'm still doing well. But it is not about, right? We try to boil relationships down to, like, well, are they cute, right? And the most annoying thing that I think any guy or whatever, whenever somebody's like, you know, I think I might want to date this girl, when the first question out of your mouth is like, is she hot? And I'm like, you sound like an idiot. Stop it. And that's not what it's supposed to be about. Like, that's not, here's the deal too. Ladies, if you know that a guy is with you only because he likes the way that you look, get out, run, go away, be done. No, bye, be done. All right? Because that's it. Like, that is not the way that relationships are supposed to function. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. Same guys. Here's the thing. I don't think I've ever met a guy who hasn't, like, married up in terms of look. Like, just because I think guys are just, we can't achieve the standard that women have as far as look. It's just not going to happen. All right. I'm being completely honest. Every man in here who is married knows that they have married up. All right. It's true. All right. You have to be honest. All right? Boys are weird and we look odd and gross sometimes. Okay? We get dirty and it's strange. All right? It happens. All right? Here's the deal. Again, if you're just with somebody because you think that they look good, or they make you somehow look good, or, like, you get to be seen with them, it is not the reason that you should be with that person at all. 100%. Never. All right? That will end in disaster for you. All right, because eventually you will get old and you will not be as good looking as you once were. That's what happens when you get old. All right? That's why they call it youth. All right? It happens. And so you need to know that you are with someone not because you think that they're just cute. Here's the question that I think that everybody should ask as far as criteria. Rather than this, instead of cute, it should be, what can we do for the kingdom together that we can't do when we're apart? That should be a huge question that you ask before you even enter into a relationship. Like, am I jumping, like, if we are together, like, if you make your little list of pros and cons and yeses and nos and whatever, like, Can we do more for God's kingdom together than we can apart? Or is us being together going to be something that distracts me from the things that God has called me or her or him to do? And what does that mean? Your criteria should be kingdom focused, not just on looks. Fourth guardrail that I think is important. This is tough for a lot of people to get, but it's very true. As middle schoolers especially, who you date now will probably marry someone else. That's just the truth. How many of you know middle school relationships on average that go longer than 2 months? We know a couple, all right? We got a couple back there. We saw people raise their hand. But like, what percentage of relationships is that? Like 5, maybe 10? And then how many of them last into high school? How many of them, percentage-wise, high school relationships then last into college? I would say that it's probably like maybe 3%, maybe 4%. I know there's statistics out there somewhere. I'm just rounding, all right? Don't quote my sources. I don't have any. But just from what I see, from what I observe. And treating people then with this idea in mind should change the way that you act around those that you date, right? It goes all the way back. It goes back to Colossians 3:12. Like, it is treat them with compassion and kindness and patience and most importantly, love. Because here's the deal: the person that you're with or dating is probably going to marry someone else, and you know that the person that eventually, if you get married, they will have had other people that they have dated, and wouldn't you have hoped that those people would have treated them well and cared for them and even loved them in the midst of trying to figure out if their relationships would work? I think that's one of the toughest things to understand, is that who you date now will probably marry somebody else. Like, it is so hard for us. We want to say, okay, I'm dating them, we're gonna be together forever, and we're never gonna be apart, and this is it, and I found them, and we're good. Like, and so then you play house and you pretend like you're married even when you're just dating, and like you can't ever leave each other's side, and you can't ever, and it's dangerous. It's a dangerous game you're playing. It's a dangerous game. And that leads me to the last guardrail, the last thing. Breakups aren't the end of the world if your world is more than your relationship. Let me say that again. Breakups aren't the end of the world if your world is more than your relationship. Let me spell this out. Like, there is so much pressure, odd, weird pressure that we put on not only on ourselves, but like that we feel like we maybe have from around us. Like, if we start dating somebody, there's like this odd pressure to never break up, ever. Like, you have to now, because you're right now, you're posting pictures of yourself and you're commenting in each other's stuff and you're sending snaps back and forth and you're talking and it's all this, and it's like, and we're gonna be together forever and I love you and all this, and like, and you go way too deep too fast, and then all of a sudden, like, you're like a month and a half, 6 weeks in, and you're like, you know, this person kind of annoys me. I don't really want to be with them anymore. And you like make yourself miserable because you're like, well, we have to stay together. Why? You're not married. Like, you haven't had a ceremony and sworn in front of God and all your friends that you're never going to leave each other or forsake one another. Like, that's dating, again, is to try to figure out if you're going to get married. Don't pretend like you're married when you're dating or you'll be miserable. This is not the way that it works. It's not a good thing. There is no competition to who can see who is the most miserable, who can make themselves the most miserable. Like, well, we dated for 4 years. Okay, well, are you dating now? No. But we did. We stuck it out. We stayed together. Well, what about now? Well, we went to college, and now she's like in Virginia and stuff. But we broke up. It's fine. Okay, well, what about all the friendships or different things that you might have missed out on, or ways that you could have loved other people or spent time with, like, your friends?
Well,
like, you see what I'm saying? We like put this weird stigma around breaking up, that it's like, who broke up with who and all this stuff. And you don't get me wrong here. You guys, breaking up is hard. It hurts, right? Because you have decided to invest intentional time with another person who you like and who has said likes you and is interested in you. And then you found at some point that, like, this just isn't going to work out, all right? But the worst thing that you can do is try to prolong the pain of breaking up by staying in the relationship longer and just pretending that everything is okay. That's much worse. The best and most honest thing to do would be to be honest and to say, hey, I think that you're a really great person and I've enjoyed hanging out with you, but like I don't see this going anywhere. And I think for us to spend time together and do this and try to pretend like everything's fine, I'm not okay with that, right? And then the immediate answer is, well, no, let's make it work. I'll do anything. I'll try. And yes, there are some of those conversations that are valid, but like as middle schoolers and as high schoolers, like you guys are still trying to figure out who you are and who God's made you to be. Don't make yourself somebody different or change for somebody else, like, because you're still trying to figure that out. Don't just make yourself a version of like what they like so that you can be together. It's not healthy. It's not good for you. Right? And the thing is that if you make your relationships everything, like your world, if you ditch your friends, if you stop spending time with them, if you pour everything that you have, your resources, you ignore your parents, you don't spend time with your family, like you're pouring everything into this. This is where all your free time goes, that when that rug gets pulled out from under you and the relationship is over, all of a sudden it hits a lot harder. Because you've put everything into this. You've made it everything. And so when it goes away, it feels like you've lost everything. Don't do that. Don't make a girlfriend or a boyfriend your whole world. I hate that. She's my world, man. Oh my gosh. What was this, 1995? Like, stop it. Don't say that. All right? Don't say that. You know who should be your whole world? Jesus should be your world. All right? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the one. I will be the one that to fill you, to make you whole, to complete you, to be the one. I define you. I am your identity. Like, Jesus is it. And here's the thing. In a relationship, there should be things that where people are encouraging one another to continue to further their relationship with Jesus and follow him better. That should be a good relationship. A mark of a good relationship means that people are encouraging one another to follow Jesus better, not pulling each other away from him. You guys get, if you're with me, say, oh yeah. Oh yeah. All right? I know this is a lot. Don't make your relationship your life. I've got a quote here from a guy named C.S. Lewis. He wrote some books that you might know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Chronicles of Narnia, and all that good stuff. He's got a lot of other really good things. And he says a couple other really good things about marriage and love and all that. And so my phone will ever turn. I don't know if it's going to. Whatever. It's very tiny. All right. Here we go. So hear me out on this. This is C.S. Lewis. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it up carefully, round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The alternative to tragedy, or at least to the risk of tragedy, is damnation. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and all the dangers of love is hell. So what I'm not saying is to not love people, all right? Because here's the thing. In marriage, in relationships like that, whenever you tell, this is why it's so terrifying to like legitimately tell someone that you love them, right? Because you're now giving them power to destroy you. You guys get that? Like here's the thing. When you give your heart to someone and you say, here it is, I'm giving it to you, I'm trusting you with this to help me to grow and mature and be loved and all these things. You are giving them the ability to crush you. That's terrifying. This is why be careful with your heart. Don't just give it out to whoever maybe is the flavor of the week. Like, don't do that. Be careful. This is serious stuff. This is why I go through this, because I care about you. And here's the thing. Year after year, I watch people get into relationships and all of these, and then they begin to pour in their time and their hearts and their energy, all of this into this relationship, and then it ends. And then I watch you become heartbroken and hurt. And I want to cry with you, because it really does hurt and it really is painful, because you thought that maybe you found somebody who liked you, or you're like, maybe, you know, I can really trust this person. And whenever you do that and you give that away, you feel a little betrayed when they say, no, I don't want to be with you anymore. And it's even scarier being the one on the other end where you're like, you know, I don't think that I should be in this. And you're the one that initiates that, because you know that if they've given you their heart, right, that you now are going to do something that will hurt them in the short term. In the long term, it will be beneficial. Know that. The worst thing, again, would be to stay in that relationship and pretend like everything's okay. So I think it almost takes courage sometimes to break up, to end something that has either gone on for too long or too far or whatever. But again, in that should all be done out of the lens of Colossians 3 with kindness and gentleness and love and care and compassion, like, at all of these things. Break up, that kind of, like, it should be done from that vantage point. If we love Jesus, if we know what he's done for us, it should change the way even that we get into relationships and that we get out of them. A couple last minute things right here at the end. Just some kind of bonus things. Bonus guardrails. Get out if, all right? Here's three things. Get out if they begin the relationship process with, God told me that we're supposed to be together. No. Run. Go away. Get out if your relationship consists of you up texts. That is not okay. Ever. All right? It's not the way that you communicate. And then, again, you're my everything. When you hear that, whether it comes out of your mouth or their mouth, watch out. Be careful. Because when someone makes you their everything, you've been put in a position that you cannot withstand. You will fail because you are human. The only one that deserves to be in that position is Jesus. All right? And that doesn't mean that when you start a relationship with someone that you break up with Jesus to go then be in a relationship with it. That's not how it works. Like, also don't say Jesus is my boyfriend or Jesus is my girlfriend. Like, that. All, the second one is even weirder. Like, Jesus is my girlfriend. Like, that's not right. Like, do girls only have exclusive rights to date Jesus? Like, is that how this works? I don't know what's happening. All right? People say that all the time. And I'm like, well, I can't say that. I can't date Jesus. That'd be weird. But, like, so don't. That's not the way that works. Because then if you're saying, well, I'm dating Jesus, then when you do get in a relationship with somebody, are you breaking up with Jesus to go be in a relationship with this person? Don't do that. That's not the way that it's supposed to be, right? Again, Jesus should be the thing he is your identity. You are in him. And then everything that you do, your friendships, your dating relationships, everything else is filtered through this lens of, I know who I am in Christ and what he's done for me. The very last thing that I want to read is Philippians 2. We've got the passage. It's kind of more towards the beginning of the slides. Philippians 2, 1. And I'll read this, and you'll have to flip the next slide for me. Listen to this. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Paul writes that in Philippians. And that's where I'm going to close us this morning. In all relationships, in all things, we should be looking to the interests of others, not to ourselves, because that's the way that Jesus modeled it for us. So be careful as you navigate dating. It can be dangerous. And most importantly, guard your heart, for from it flows your life. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for all that you've done. God, would you help us to learn what it means to guard our hearts? Would you help us to learn what that looks like, and even just figuring out what it means to care for others, whether they're just friends or whether we're dating or now or in the future or whenever. God, would you help us to be people that continuously put others' needs above our own? Would we be selfless in the way that we care for one another and treat one another and love each other? God, thank you for even the gift of relationships, that you did not make us to be alone, but we get to see you and we get even just a shadow of what it looks like to be in a relationship with you by enjoying friendships and deep, intimate relationships with one another. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.